Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To talk to our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Not much.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like we got a ton too far from where we were last week. I will say we did get to see Dylan Gabriel actually play football. Daryl, I know that you had pointed to, especially in the eyes of the fans, he had to play better than Shador did. Do you think he lived up to that, or did he fall short of it?
No, he definitely fell short. I mean, let's see. Shador had two touchdown passes and Dylan Gabriel had two turnovers.
Hey, what did you think outside of the turnovers, what you saw from Dylan Gabriel, just what you were expecting to see based on what you saw in training camp to what he produced on the field?
Nah, I mean, he was better, but it was hard for him to be any worse than what we were seeing in training camp. So, look, I have given him his flowers, his credit for not going out and stinking up the place. I still don't believe he's a legitimate NFL quarterback. I think he's a backup at best. But, you know, maybe he'll prove me wrong. And you know what? Hopefully he does. Should he get the opportunity to start for this football team, which I think at some point he probably will this season. But the reality is that he was excellent on third down. He moved the offense. He put together multiple scoring drives. The opening drive was a thing of beauty. Taking almost over 8 minutes off the clock in doing so. So again, I give him credit for how he played, but there are some things like, oh, I don't know, he didn't exactly do it against the defending Super Bowl champs first-team defense. And, I feel like that there's still a lot of areas in his game where he needs to be better. And also, too, they didn't take a lot of shots down the field. He managed his time on the field. Did it well. But let's not act like he was ripping off 20, 25, 30-yard passes with regularity here.
Daryl, we're going to get back to the quarterbacks coming up here, but obviously news coming down from training camp today is that Denzel Ward went down at practice. Early reports are that the shoulder injury that he suffered is not expected to be anything serious. I know Jordan Schultz had that report. Take me through it. What happened on the field? What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a one-on-one drill. He was defending Jerry Jeudy and didn't notice anything at first, and then next thing you know, he's over hunched over on the sideline there, and a trainer comes over to him, and as it's going on and on, it's like, he hurt something, and then he actually went out for another team rep after a little bit, taking a little time to let things calm down. He went out for a rep. And then he came off the field and walked inside. So, look, we were told Greg Newsom's shoulder injury was not all that serious. And we got to see him in team drills for the first time since August 1st. Okay? So that's about nearly 3 weeks. So, hopefully there is no major injury there, but let's not go pop the bubbly just yet, because again, we've heard it's not serious, and Greg Newsom missed nearly 3 weeks. So hopefully that's not going to be the case here with Denzel Ward.
All right, Daryl, let's play worst case scenario, or I guess bad case scenario. I don't know, that'd be worse, but if he did have to miss...
There's always worse.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going. I was like, but I don't know that we've quite gotten to worst case scenario. But if he does have to miss, you know, any assortment of time, what does that mean for the Browns defense, and how big of missing Denzel actually impacts, you think, them on the field?
Tremendously. Look, the secondary's got a lot of questions right now. The loss of Martin Emerson was huge to that ruptured Achilles early in camp. That was a devastating injury for the back end of that defense. So, you know, they're going to really need Greg Newsome to really play well opposite of Denzel Ward. And just looking at the timeline here, right? I mean, you are less than 3 weeks away from your season opener. It's not a lot of time for him to get well. It's about 2.5 weeks, you know, between now and September 7 against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, hopefully whatever happened today, it isn't a big deal. He maybe just needs to take a couple of days off and cross your fingers that he is available for week one, because Denzel Ward feasts on the Cincinnati Bengals historically in his career. So you definitely want him out there, so you get an opportunity to start the season off on the right foot. And if you watch that preseason game between the Bengals and the Commanders last night, there's definitely going to be opportunity for the Browns in week one.
Daryl Reiter, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, with us here on the hotline. Daryl, let's get back to quarterback. Joe Flacco, as expected, named the week one starter. Looking at it, well, what do we think that the earliest is that Joe would go from the starter to the backup, obviously barring injury or anything crazy?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say. And I thought Joe handled that well, and no expectation that he wouldn't when he got asked. And he just basically says, hey, we all know what this is, right? And so he knows. He has to go out there and play well. He has to help the Browns win games early in the season. And if not, the organization is going to make a change. That's just life in the big city and the way she goes, especially when the owner of the team comes out a couple weeks earlier and says, oh, yeah, Kevin knows the assignment. We're going to see these rookie quarterbacks at some point this season. So Joe's job is twofold. One, actually threefold, I should say. One, go out there, play well. Two, help the Cleveland Browns win games. And three, keep the rookies on the bench.
So if you go through and you're Joe, if he's able to go 17 games, obviously from like an NFL perspective, that probably means that you're winning football games, and that's a good thing. But within Cleveland, is it a failure essentially if Joe Flacco goes out and plays 17?
Well, if he plays 17 games, I believe then the Browns are in the playoffs, and therefore it's not a failure. That's the only way he plays 17 games in my mind. I do not believe that is going to happen this year. I certainly am not rooting against that, but I'm being realistic. This is a franchise that needs at least three quarterbacks just to get through the regular season schedule. Okay. So, I have no expectation he's playing 17 games this year. Hope he does again, because if that happens, that means the Browns are winning a lot of games and they're a playoff team. And he will have given them no reason to put him on the bench. So, that's just kind of where I'm at there. As long as he's playing well and they're winning, Joe Flacco is going to be the quarterback. When he doesn't play well and they start piling losses up, like we have unfortunately become accustomed to watching here in Cleveland over the last 26 years or so, well, then you're going to see a quarterback change get made.
And Daryl, what does that mean for if it were somehow to happen and the Browns pulled off the miracle that is make it to the playoffs this year? What does that mean for Andrew Berry? Obviously, you get the credit for bringing Joe in the first place, but I think people would probably diminish that credit considering he was gone. And you used two picks on a quarterback that you're probably reaching back into the well in 2026 once again without ever seeing them play.
Well, I mean, look, Joe Flacco's 40 years old, okay? I don't think it's a poor reflection on Andrew Berry at all, other than, I don't know, maybe they should have brought him back last year, but they could ill afford to do anything that compromised Deshaun Watson's ego. It's why they got rid of Alex Van Pelt and brought in Ken Dorsey, right? It's why they got away from their zone blocking scheme, which the entire offensive line was built for, and they did at such a premier level and ultimately led to a lot of guys being frustrated last season because of them getting away from that. And now this year they're back to, as I call it, the bread and butter. I just feel like being true to their identity is going to be very, very important. And I think the identity of this football team is going to be a similar strategy to what you saw with Dillon Gabriel in Philadelphia over the weekend. And that is they're going to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quickly as possible. They're going to use receivers and tight ends and running backs on these short crossing routes. They're going to try a little misdirection. And then they're also going to try and pound the ball right down the opposition's throat. And so the fact that this line is right now it's healthy. It is a line that has played together for multiple years outside of DeJuan Jones. And so, my expectation is that at least early in the season, this should look okay. It's when you get into the meat of the schedule there and you get a little deeper. If they lose some games early, then you know what happens, right? Injuries pile up. And, confidence starts to wane and things like that. So I think it's critically important for them to get off to a positive start. And historically, under Kevin Stefanski, September into early October is pretty kind to them. The issues tend to pop up late October into January.
Daryl, I meant to ask you, when it comes to Dillon Gabriel, obviously he performs over the weekend and then during the third quarter does the CBS interview with Aditi Kinkabwala and makes the some of us are entertainers, some of us are competitors comment. Is there any way that was a signal towards Shador, and it was or wasn't? Was it a stupid comment to make?
No, I'm going to get a little egotistical and say he was talking to me.
Straight at you, right at Daryl Ryder?
Yep, right at me, right at others that have been critical of his performance throughout camp. And, where he might be in the lexicon of professional football. I never once thought that was a shot at Shador. I was curious if it was. When I saw the quote, the first thought in my head was, I need to see the question that got asked. I need to see the context. I need to see the full quote. Because, look, you can parse a quote and get your headline. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened to him very unfairly on Saturday. Not just from well-respected national reporters, but from the league account, from the league's own account. And that was unfortunate. And that's why on my Sunday show and every show I've been on since, I've actually been defending Dillon Gabriel, because I don't think he said anything that was wrong. I don't think he said anything that was inappropriate. And I certainly didn't get the impression he was trying to take a shot at Shador Sanders.
Again, Daryl Ryder with us on the hotline. Daryl, outside of quarterback, 3-year contract for Isaiah Bond probably means, if I had to take a guess, that he's going to be on the roster when the cutdowns come. How close does that send Diontae Johnson into being a cut candidate in this wide receiver room?
Well, it certainly makes it a little more difficult for him, right? And that's something that, look, we knew when they brought Diontae in, it was a low risk with potential for high reward type of a move, right? And so, unfortunately, things started out well, but for whatever reason, in the last week and a half or so, it's not been as clean and as smooth as you would like it to be on the field. There's going to be some tough decisions in that receiver room, and mostly because I don't believe that the Cleveland Browns have the talent required. You've got four guys in that receiver room right now that are making the team: Bond, Jamari Thrash, Cedric Tillman, and Jerry Jeudy. And there's only one of those players that is a known quantity, and that's Jerry Jeudy. And that is a very scary position to be in, especially when you have such an uncertain situation at quarterback, even though, again, you've got the veteran Joe Flacco leading you off.
Daryl, as always, I appreciate you setting aside the time. I look forward to talking to you next week when We'll be in full gear getting ready for the regular season against the Cincinnati Bengals for week one.
Next week will be killing time until the regular season gets here. Then we got cut down, too. We got the initial 53, so it'd be a pretty intriguing time.
Got plenty to talk about. Daryl, I appreciate you.
You betcha.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat Reporter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say coming back here in 5 minutes as well. Denzel Ward, you got to miss time. Does that put a dagger in the defense? Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
A lot of the stuff, like, I thought Daryl, I gave his compliments where due to Dylan Gabriel, probably a little bit lower on the start, than I would have been, and I am. But, I mean, I get it to a degree. I just think the Denzel stuff is huge. Out at training camp today, Denzel in a one-on-one drill, as Daryl described it, up against Jerry Jeudy, fell on the shoulder, couldn't initially tell anything was happening, tried to go back out there, didn't work. And early reports from Jordan Schultz and other NFL reporters coming down that Denzel not expected to have suffered a serious injury.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
At this point, but, I mean, there's got to be even some level of concern. And I think Daryl pointed to it perfectly. It's like, well, they told us Greg Newsome's was nothing to worry about either. And he just got back out in team drills today for the very first time since August 1st. So if 18 days is nothing major, which, by the way, might very well be, he didn't suffer a torn labrum or something like that, but it could still be something that keeps you out for a few weeks. That would be the Browns having to operate on defense without Denzel Ward and M. Jamerson, of course, who already had the season-ending injury. And I think this is where we look back, and it was the things that we were scared of entirely anyway, right? It was always the things that, all right, well, I look at the defense, and what was my main concern? Depth. Like, M. Jamerson got hurt, and immediately I was like, well, the secondary just got a whole lot, you know, at least scarier. I don't know if it got worse. Based on how MJ played last year, but you think that it got worse. Like, MJ was, we're banking on a bounce back year. And part of that was just going to be MJ actually doing what he did 2 years ago and being able to get back on track. And now it's okay. Well, I'm probably gonna have to have, you know, Greg Newsome play a little bit of the outside. We're going to have guys like Cameron Mitchell in the mix a little bit more, Tony Brown in the mix, maybe a little bit more. I just don't know how many injuries you can survive on this defense. Like, the defensive line gets injured, anybody outside of Miles, essentially. It's a next man up mentality, and you have the guys in the room to do it. But yeah, I'm not very concerned with, you know, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka is potentially going to be there. Obviously, Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire are going to be there. A couple other guys in the mix, and then you have even defensive tackle depth with guys like Shelby Harris and obviously Mason Graham. I just look at it and I'm like, okay, so the defensive front's fine. Again, I'm good with the defensive line. Everywhere else, it just feels like an injury is crippling. And obviously, anytime you lose a guy for any amount of time like Denzel Ward, the defense gets worse. Nobody's going to ever question that. He's a top corner in the NFL and an elite man-to-man corner. So you miss him, you're going to feel the effects of not having Denzel. The problem is with the defense, in the style that you run, in the scheme you run under Jim Schwartz, that feels like it's going to be a killer. It's based on, we can run man-to-man coverage, we can play tight man-to-man coverage, and I can let the defensive line work
and get to the pass rusher and create things and make things happen. Well, if Denzel's not there, if I'm trusting Greg Newsome and Cameron Mitchell on the outside to play corner and play good man-to-man corner, yeah, there's concerns there. Like Cameron Mitchell, as much as I think he's put some really good tape out there, and I think he is a guy that you can definitely use defensively, it's like I also have to look at it and say, yeah, as an outside corner, I don't know how much I can trust you playing man-to-man at the height that you're at. You're just going to struggle against some of the top receivers. And the defense is going to struggle then against the top offenses. And I thought it was great by Darryl to even bring up the point of, hey, Denzel Ward has dominated the Bengals so far in his career. So it just kind of doubles down. In a game where you need the defense to be good, hey, you should be able to score points on the Bengals defense. The Bengals offense is certainly going to score points. Nobody can argue that. Like when you put together the offensive firepower they have, doesn't matter what defense is out there, that team consistently scores points. So you need as good of a defensive front as you can get. You have to try to shut down Jamar Chase as much as you can, and the answer to that has been Denzel Ward. Jamar has come out and said the toughest corner that he plays in the NFL, he thinks is Denzel. And he's got to face him twice a year. You tack that down to one. The beginning of the season that we're looking to be, you know, a win, essentially. I mean, you're trying to get a win week one, and that is probably the most winnable, if not one of the two most winnable games out of the first six that you play. So I don't even think this is just stops at, well, of course it affects the defense and makes the defense worse. I think this also goes into, it affects guys on the offensive end too. It affects guys like Joe Flacco, right? Like, that guy is fighting every single week for his job, day in and day out, week in and week out in the regular season. He's fighting for his job. Starting off 0-1, 0-2, with every loss that piles up, it obviously gets more and more likely that there's a chance a guy like Joe gets replaced by one of the rookies or Kenny Pickett. Who knows what the hell's happening? But it's increasingly likely that he gets replaced with every loss that he puts up. And probably earlier than later. Like we talked about the leash yesterday. I'm thinking it's probably about 4 to 6 games. You have that stretch. Browns can tell you they're not paying attention to that. I guarantee you they're paying a little bit of attention to the schedule that's there. It's like if Joe can get us through that, we might have a chance to go win some games and actually, you know, fight and be competitive this year. Joe doesn't get us through that with a ton of wins. Yeah, we have real concerns. Like if that might be the time to start flipping the page over to a rookie quarterback and say, all right, can you either save the season or show me something going into next year? But it just can't be Denzel being down. And this unfortunately has been the story of Denzel's career. An elite corner who just can't stay healthy between the concussions and then injuries like the shoulder injury that he has right now. It just feels like you never get a full season out of Denzel. So again, I mean, let's not mince it. We don't have anything fully confirmed, but Jordan Schultz is reporting the fact that Denzel is not expected to have suffered a serious injury, but that does not mean that Denzel is just clear and not going to miss any time either. And the Browns obviously have come out and said nothing about it. The last update that we got from the Browns and like Mary Kay Cabot has been the idea that no update on Denzel at this time. Which, by the way, is the scariest update that you can have. The last thing I want to hear is, well, there's no update on the guy. Can I please have an update on the guy, please? Anything? Can I just get an update on whether or not my player is ready to go? And if we think it's season ending or if he's, you know, not season ending, like that is the basis of what I want to hear. Is Denzel out for the year? Not out for the year. And again, looks like it's not going to be, but that would have been a nice little update. But I just think it's interesting trying to figure out where this defense heads. Like that secondary, without Denzel Ward in it, you're lacking a superstar. But Grant Delpit's the next superstar you have, and you know that guy's playing in the box more often than he's a strong safety, he's not a free safety. Denzel's in there to hit people, not necessarily get a ton of interceptions and be an elite pass coverage type of guy. Grant's in there to hit people. So I just don't know where you turn to in the secondary right now with guys going down. You don't know who's playing across from Grant Delpit in the corner room. Again, the fall-off is steep once you get past the first two or three guys. The fall-off gets steep, and it's for a lot of teams, but unfortunately the Browns are the ones right now suffering those injuries.
At
Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
He's at the top. I'm trying to see where the defense goes, and I think it's interesting to look at, hey, if this team's healthy, you know, they can be a top, what, 5 defense, 10 defense, wherever you want to put them. I just don't know where they are without Denzel. It feels like that fall off is a lot greater, especially early on in the season when you're playing, I mean, let's call it what it is, elite offenses, right? Like it, Bengals, elite offense, Ravens, elite offense. You play the Lions in that stretch. That's an elite offense. We'll see without Ben Johnson. But as the last that we've seen of them, hey, that offense was elite. So you're not just going to be, oh, well, you know, if I played the Jets and I played the Raiders and the Titans in this stretch of the schedule and was missing Denzel, I can make some claims that, like, all right, well, you're not going to have Denzel, but hey, who am I having Denzel not shut down right now? Like Calvin Ridley, can I trust somebody else to cover Calvin Ridley at this point in his career? Yeah, probably. Can I trust them to cover whoever the hell they're going to roll out there, Jacoby Myers for the Raiders or any stretch of teams? Like, hey, if you're lacking that top talent, yeah, I have no problem. But as soon as you're telling me, oh, they either have an elite quarterback, an elite receiver, or both, the concern level is absolutely there. And I think the Browns would suffer greatly, and it does feel like something that would directly translate to wins and losses. It's not just, and it's hard to do on the defensive end. We've talked about it with Miles, but Miles can also at times translate to wins and losses. We've seen him win games, certainly haven't seen him lose games, but the absence of him would definitely make it more difficult for you to be great defensively, especially with the way the offense is set up. I would not want to see this team play in a week of football without Denzel, especially to start the year. 216-474-0092. Does a Denzel Ward injury kill the Browns defense? We'll get to more on that as well. Another good start from Gavin Williams gets you through a win last night. Do the Guardians have an ace right now on the roster? 216-474-0092. It's all coming your way at 840 right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. I mean, it puts the defense down. Like, you're going to feel a significant hit. As much as I have trust in that defense, yeah, missing a guy like Denzel is probably the thing that, you know, takes you from being a top 5 defense down to like a top, I mean, we might talk legitimately without the presence of MJ Emerson, to like a top 15 type of defense. Like, you might just be top half of the league at that point, and that is bad news for the Browns, bad news for Joe Flacco, and anybody else who wants to keep their job on the offensive end. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go to the phones. Jim is in Akron. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, Denzel Ward has been injury prone, the concussion thing. And I knew we were short on corners and DBs going into the draft. And I really don't want to beat a dead horse or cover ground we've already been over. Mm. But I had an opportunity to watch CU 3 falls in a row. I was out in Arizona and Colorado with my older brother, and he had the package. He paid a lot of money for it, too. But, yeah, I saw a lot of them. And I really think we should have drafted Travis Hunter because, and here's why. Starting the corner, I mean, he's an exceptional DB, starting at corner. And then when we get into a third and nine or a third and five or a third and 15 even, put him out there at wideout. And they'll have to cover him. You know what I'm saying? Or it's going to be house time. And so that's my thinking. And then, you know, I followed the Browns since 1966, the year after Jim Brown retired. No, I'm not that old, but I was a kid. But, you know, here we are 26 years back in the league, and we're still fuddling around trying to get a decent quarterback, you know, and nothing against the guys they brought in this year. But, you know, Sidor's hurt, Dylan Gabriel's hurt, Kenny Pickett was hurt. It's like, whoa, man. You know, we don't want to have the quarterbacks injury prone either. But yeah, we're weak at DB, and I was surprised they didn't try to get somebody either in free agency or in the draft at receiver, because that room is sparse.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's pretty much, you know, what I got to say. I really feel like we should have drafted Travis Hunter, and like I said, put him in a corner. When you get into a third, medium or long, throw him out there on the field. They're either going to cover him, we're going to have a guy open.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, Jim, I appreciate the call. I mean, it is interesting. Like, obviously, I think you have to take into full perspective, too. Like, Travis Hunter, taking him directly over Mason Graham kind of would have been a no-doubter, like a no-brainer for the Browns. I think in a one-to-one comparison, it's like, okay, either and we get the defensive line completely right now and get another stud there, and it's just going to be stockpiled for Jim Schwartz, or you address two needs at once. And have to balance in, you know, trying to make Travis work. But I think when you put the full package together, and the revisionist history on Quinshon Judkins, but like, hey, you toss away second round running back talent or Carson Schlessinger in the second round, plus you take away the fact that you had a first round pick next year. I don't know how, if you're the Browns, you decline that trade and just go, okay, I'm just going to take Travis. He would have helped with depth on both sides and like starting depth. Like, I think he's a starting level corner. I thought a little bit less of him as a wide receiver with a lot of room to work. But he would have been out there. I mean, he probably would have been taking over as the number two pick. I imagine like Cedric Tillman, Jamari Thrash, one of those type of roles, whether that's your two, your three wide receiver in limited fashion. Yeah, it would have been nice. I just don't think that you would have ever been able to turn down the trade package that the Jaguars actually offered you. You got an absolute haul to move down three spots and still got a stud in Mason Graham out of it. I think if you had the opportunity, you probably wouldn't go back and do it differently. Although I'll tell you, I'd love to have Travis Hunter on this roster too. It wouldn't be such a bad thing. All right, let's leave that there for a second. We'll come back to the Browns in the 9 o'clock hour, but I did want to talk a little bit of Guardians with you guys. They're coming up. They'll be playing the Diamondbacks in about an hour's time. But as we see Gavin Williams go through, and he delivered another great performance. I mean, only was able to get through 5 1/3. He had run up the pitch count. Had basically reached 100 by then. Yes, once again, Gavin Williams. Efficiency feels like a legitimate problem again in last night's game, where I even remember looking, and it's like, okay, he's not even through five innings, and we're sitting at 80 pitches right now. You got to get, you know, the pitch count down, and he struggled with that basically all season long. But you get me through 5 1/3. You give up 4 hits, no runs. You strike out 5. And he's been putting on great performances, obviously, just repeatedly. I mean, even with the 3-inning outing he had against Miami where he gave up 4 runs, he's pitched his way so far in August to a sub-2 ERA because he blanked both the Twins and the Diamondbacks last night and held the Mets, obviously, to the one run, the solo shot from Juan Soto where he went 8 2/3. So I look around, and it's like, okay, if we would have rewound back to last year, and you asked me, does this team have an ace? I'd have been like, well, I don't know that you have an ace, but Tanner Bibee was certainly knocking on the door, and Gavin Williams left a lot to be desired. In a lot of ways, it just feels like those two guys, you know, flipped roles. Like, they just flip-flop back and forth, where it's, okay, now Tanner is the guy where I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's got some good stuff, but it feels like he's just landing short. Where Tanner has obviously struggled in his last few starts and has really struggled down the second half of the season. And Gavin just feels like he's knocking at the door. It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to be an ace,
it's pretty much telling me that hey, that's a guy that I'm going to trust to get through six innings, hold the defense or hold the opposing team from actually putting points onto the board and runs on the board, and they'll hold them to one, two, three runs across that consistently over and over again. And right now, I just can't trust Gavin to get through six. I can trust him to get through like five on almost any given start. But if you're telling me he's got to get through six innings, I'm like, hey, he might throw 110 pitches if you let him do that. He might go out there and just never get it done. And it feels like, again, knocking at the door. Tanner Bibee at one point knocking at the door. Slade Zaccone at points this year. He obviously has not enough to prove that he's an ace, but he's had ace-type stuff for a portion of this year where it was like he might be the best pitcher in the room right now. And not to mention, you're coming up tomorrow, not confirmed by the Guardians, but reports are that Parker Messick, the AAA reliever for Columbus, is going to get called up and pitch for the Guardians tomorrow. And that's something where it's like, yeah, obviously we're not going to throw Parker in there. It's like, he's an ace. But he's a highly recruited prospect who's done very well for himself over the past couple of years in the minors. It just feels like you're consistently building a rotation with young guys right now. The entire rotation is full of them. When the oldest guy that you have out there is Logan Allen, you feel like you're doing all right. It's like I'm just building a rotation of twos and threes. And then Logan Allen on the back end, who's probably more of like a four or five. He's your back end rotation on a good team. But I'm just building a rotation out of guys who just aren't aces right now. And there's not much you can do. Like, trade deadline's passed. It's not like you can go out there. It's not like you had somebody sitting that you traded away. I mean, you traded Shane Bieber, but not a ton of knowing what he's going to be. But you're just sitting there and trying to figure out, am I actually going to be able to count on the pitching staff? Hey, can I have the ace that, hey, if I make it to the playoffs and I bounce back from my sweep that the Braves handed us over the weekend, if I make it to the playoffs, can I actually trust one of these guys to be my ace when I go out there? If I go out there game one and I have to play a team like, say, the Tigers, like you did last year, and they have Tarek Skubal, do I have a guy that right now can match Tarek Skubal? The short answer right now is no. Like, again, Gavin will get you through five innings, and I'll trust him to take down the Tigers' offense. I also just don't trust him to go out there and not make me burn through part of my bullpen. If I got to go out there in game one and throw four different bullpen pitchers just to get through, and I have to burn my Enright, Sobrowski, Gattis, and Smith in game one, game two gets a whole lot harder. I don't really want to call on Carlos Hernandez to pitch in a playoff game. I'm sorry. But it is a fickle balance to try to get where these guys are going and actually nail them down to, okay, can I just trust you to get through games? You just don't have that guy right now. You are missing a clear ace on the rotation. Now, Gavin has the stuff to be an ace. When I say knocking at the door's half open. All he has to do is cut down on the walks, cut down on, a lot of the pitches that he misses outside the zone, works a lot of full counts. I just need you to go out there and be able to attack batters and actually put them away before you throw eight pitches in at bat. And it feels like that's the thing that he consistently over and over again struggles with throughout every start that he makes. But if the Guardians are going to be successful in the playoffs, you have to lean on the pitching. You know the offense isn't up to standard on where it needs to be a legitimate playoff contender. The pitching is the one thing that you have. And while the bullpen feels like it's completely found, it's a little bit of a groove. They settled down, like I said, with the additions of Sobrowski and Enright. The rotation continues to be almost, I don't know that it's the biggest question mark, because I do think that lands in the offense. But it is like, if I throw these guys out there, what are they giving me in the playoffs? It's probably, in a way, your X factor. Like, if they just go out there and Tanner Bibee looks like how he did last year, and Gavin Williams, it cuts down and gets more efficient, I can have a guy like Slade Zaccone just be the guy that he's been and be a reliable number three pitcher, yeah, you're going to be fine. It then turns over to the offense. Are you going to hit today or are you not? But I just don't know that you have those guys to rely on across a series right now. I don't know that you have the guys to rely on right now to get you through the back half of the season. And again, I feel good every time Gavin comes to the mound. Despite Tanner Bibee's struggles, we have MLB Network up in the studio, and they flashed a graphic that over the last seven starts for Tanner Bibee, the Guardians have won seven games in a row over the seven games that he started. Like, and that's while he's pitching to a near 5.5 ERA. Yeah, he gives up runs. He has not been pitching great, but the offense just seems to wake up when he's on the mound for some reason, and they come and they support him when he's out there. And we'll see if that trend continues tonight. But I need to find a guy that's going to be an ace. And at some point, yeah, that's got to be Gavin to step up and develop into that guy. I get it that when we talk about, you know, rookies and young players in the MLB, they typically come in that 24 to 26 range. Gavin's 26. Gavin has multiple years in the league now. I need Gavin that he's into year three to start stepping up and being the guy that he was supposed to be. And he's there. He's progressed nicely and been everything that we've wanted just as soon as you can make it so you can get through 6 or 7 innings in a start. You all of a sudden become, I mean, legitimately one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, he is that close to it right now, pitching to a near sub 3 ERA. He is knocking on the door of being that guy. I just need him to actually step through it and be that guy, and I'm going to need it at the back half of this year. If I'm going to make the playoff push, if I'm going to win a playoff series, I think a lot of that right now rides on Gavin Williams. Whether they throw him out there for game one or game two, it's going to be on his back to actually be the guy that steps up and is the lead of this rotation. It was always supposed to be. I think it still, in a lot of ways, is. 216-474-0092. Do the Guardians have an ace on the roster right now? You can talk Parker Messick into the mix if you really think he's going to be that great, but I think it does lie on the shoulders of Gavin Williams. We'll get to your calls coming up here in 5 minutes as well, as we always do at 9 o'clock. Get a grip on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.